The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So at this time, I want to officially welcome everyone who will be watching this from our podcast on Apple or Spotify or Rumble or YouTube or whatever platform you may be joining us. Again, I'm Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And on today's segment, on today's podcast, this is going to be an interesting one. Are we missing harbingers while we're busy debating everything? This is, now, you may be thinking, where in the world are you going with this? How did you come up with this? Well, if you listen to last week's podcast, we did a segment, one of our segments, we talked about we brought up the UFO dilemma. We brought up these strange UFO sightings, and we talked about they can either be three different things. You can go back and listen to the whole segment on that. That's in our archives. It's on our podcast. It's on our app. We talked about, you know, UFOs is something that a lot of Christians don't want to discuss. They don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about in Christian circles. Churches don't want to touch the subject. Pastors want to avoid the subject altogether. But we have to deal with these things. And again, this is just one key part of this, because another article just surfaced this last week, and we're going to talk about that today. And last week's segment, I'm just going to give a little bit quick recap so we can kind of just shoot forward to get to where we're going today. But in that segment, I talked about we can't sweep this under the rug. So it's either got to be one of three things. Either one, it is military aircraft, either known or unknown, classified, unclassified, whatever the case may be, foreign or domestic. It's got to be military, or it is deception. What I mean by deception, meaning demonic in nature, angelic in nature, supernatural, spiritual, lying, signs and wonders, all that falls in that category. Or then you got number three, which is the extraterrestrial alien concept of that. So it's got to be one of those three things. There's no other way around that. It's, again, military, demonic, or quote unquote alien. All right. So now, again, the premise of what I'm saying here is everybody debates this. There's all these debates. It's this, it's that, it's this. Same way with anytime we have disasters. Is it the judgment of God? Is it God? Is it demonic? Is it nature? Then you have the same scenario when it comes to signs, cosmic signs and fearful signs and sights from heaven. You have this same concept here. Are these signs from heaven? Are these given by God? Are these just is this, you know, people say, oh, you're getting into astrology. Is this astronomy? Is it this? So people are debating all this. So again, let me give you this. Are we missing harbingers while we're busy debating everything? Now, guys, this is going to be an interesting topic today. This is kind of a spinoff of last week's podcast. By definition, the word harbinger, by definition, has a primary, secondary meaning. A harbinger is a person or thing that announces or signals the approach of another. Here's another definition. Quote, a forerunner of something that is coming. Let me say that again. A forerunner of something that is coming. And then again, a person or thing that announces or signals the approach of another. Again, that is the definition of a harbinger. Okay, so having said that, I want to show you some stuff that this article that we talked about that I told you we were going to talk about. This, we shared this on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, and it it stirred up a lot of controversy, as always does when we talk about these topics and these conversations. New infrared image shows, quote, swarm of flashing tic-tac-shaped UFOs chasing four U.S. Navy destroyers off California coast at 70 miles an hour. Again, this is from the Daily Mail. A grainy new image has been released by the Navy showing what appears to be three small dots representing unmanned aerial systems, or UAS. The three devices appeared about the USS Paul Hamilton on July the 17th of 2019 and said a, quote, swarm appeared in and out over the course of 3 hours. Other ships off the coast of California also reported several occurrences of UAS and red flashing lights throughout July, starting on the 14th. The Navy and the report said in April of 2021 that it was unable to identify the objects, and the Department of Defense has since declined to comment. Again, guys, this is not the first event like this in nature. This has been ongoing. This has been happening for some time. In fact, it has happened so frequently that it actually forced the U.S. government to come out and acknowledge.
The U.S. intelligence community on Friday released a long-awaited report on what it knows about UFOs, or unidentified flying objects. Some of the more than 100 instances it studied could be explained by atmospheric occurrences, foreign adversary actions, or other phenomena. But most of the incidents defied explanation. One person who knows that well is retired Lieutenant Commander Alex Dietrich, a retired Navy fighter pilot. Alex Dietrich, welcome to the NewsHour. So tell us what you saw back in a training mission in San Diego.
So in November of 2004, off the coast of Southern California, we were preparing for our deployment, running training exercises. And when we launched, anticipating going to a particular airspace and running these training exercises, we were interrupted for a real-world intercept. We were vectored to try to get a visual tally on something that another ship in our carrier strike group was picking up on their radar. So we followed their vectors, and we ended up getting a visual contact. There were four aircrew and two aircraft. So each aircraft is a cockpit with a pilot and a weapon systems officer. And so among the four of us, we picked up this visual tally on this UAP, this unidentified aerial phenomenon.
And what did it look like?
So we describe it as looking like a tic-tac. It looks like the little breath mint in larger scale, but white, oblong, no apparent flight control surfaces, no apparent visible beams of propulsion. And it was maneuvering in a way that we didn't recognize, that we couldn't classify. We couldn't identify.
And what do you think it is, looking back?
Well, I'm not qualified to make that analysis. It's almost 17 years now, and I know there are a lot of folks who are curious and concerned about it, but I gave my debrief, gave what I could in terms of the information and data from that day, and I'll leave it up to the expert analysts to do their job and make that determination.
The report uses this language, that there are UAPs who, quote, appeared to remain stationary in winds aloft, move against the wind, move or abruptly, or move at considerable speed without discernible means of propulsion. Does that sound about like what you saw?
So I can't note, or I can't speak to what the winds were on that particular day. I don't know that we noted them, but it certainly did behave in a way, maneuvered in a way that we couldn't explain, and we couldn't anticipate its next move. So normally when you're looking at another aircraft, we do a lot of BFM or aerial combat maneuvering, where we are looking at turn circles or turn radius and anticipating the next move of our adversary, or if we're scrimmaging with each other. And in this particular case, it just broke the mold and kind of blew our minds in terms of the way it was maneuvering.
The report talks about how maybe the number of people reporting these incidents is actually low because there was a stigma attached to reporting. Did you ever experience that? Was there a stigma when you reported, and or did people respond to you strangely when you talked about it?
Sure. So I don't consider myself to be a whistleblower, and I don't, you know, the media has been calling me and asking me to do these interviews, and as a military officer, I feel that I have a duty and an obligation to respond to those citizens who are curious and concerned about this issue. But if there is something that comes of this, I hope that it's a reduction in stigma, and that folks who do encounter something, whether it's in our airspace or in our waters, near a military exercise or just off of our coast, that folks will be encouraged to report and to report up through the official channels, to actually do a thorough observation and capture it if they can on film or on video. And again, to relay that up so that those who are qualified and authorized to do that analysis can put the pieces together and maybe solve the puzzle.
And we've talked, I don't want to beat a dead horse on this and rehash this over and over again, but again, these unidentified aerial phenomenon, UFOs, whatever they are, they're not going away anytime soon. And like we talked about in our last podcast last week, there is now, and don't ask me how you become an expert on this because I don't know, but these quote unquote experts in UFOs in this kind of field have come out and they've warned that they're saying that they believe that this year, 2022, is going to be an extraordinary year for UFOs and the revealing of UFOs. So what I thought was interesting, and we discussed those three possible scenarios, what we talked about earlier, but I want to give you a different, spin. I want to show you a different scenario today that I was thinking about this over the week, especially when this article came out, and I said, Lord, you know, I was just kind of meditating on this, and I was just thinking to myself, Lord, is there an aspect of this that I might be missing? While we're all debating, because this is what I see on the forefront, is everybody's debating this stuff. Everything's a debate, guys. We debate everything. And why, you know, a lot of believers, they undermine or they write off anything like this. And they don't want to discuss it. It's like a taboo subject, so they debate it. It's extraterrestrial. I don't believe in aliens. Oh, it's the government. Oh, it's military. Oh, it's demonic. And there's just all these debates. And again, not just UFOs, but all these other strange events. So let's talk about this today in detail. I'm going to give you a different spin on this. It's interesting that I'm going to take you back in history. There was a major event that happened in 70 AD. And that was the destruction of the temple by the Roman invasion of 70 AD, destroyed the Jewish temple. Everybody, most of us know this. It's historical. It's biblical. Jesus warned about this 40 years in 30 AD, 40 years prior to this event, he foretold this event and it would happen. Now, leading up to this actual cataclysmic, catastrophic, I would say judgment upon Israel in the destruction of the temple, there is historical writings by many, such as Josephus, early church fathers, and Jewish history, that point out that before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, there was at least, seven strange, listen to me, what would be considered supernatural, strange, bizarre, unexplained events that took place before judgment came. Now, what am I talking about today? Remember my title, Are We Missing harbingers while we're busy debating all this stuff. Let me show you an example. Let me talk about this. According to Josephus and early writings of Jewish history, there was a comet that was seen in 66 AD, 4 years before judgment came in the form of destruction of the temple in 70 AD. According to the writing, quote, so it was this comet that appeared was shaped like a sword in the heavens. And we all know if you take the Bible and you take typology and symbols, there's what's called the law of first mention. And you go and you find what those symbols represent in the Bible, you'll discover that a sword always represents war. A sword always represents war. When the prophets warned that the Lord would bring a sword in the land, he was saying that there would come war. There would come desolation in the land. So a comet appeared 4 years before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and it was shaped like a sword. Now, consequently, 4 years later, we know that war came to ground zero of Israel in Jerusalem at the temple. Listen, quote, so it was when a star resembling a sword, they called it a star, but later some historians said that it appeared to be a comet. So it was when a star resembling a sword stood over the city of Jerusalem and a comet which continued in for a year. So again, some say it was a star and a comet that made a sword. Some say it was just one comet that made a sword. So the point is, guys, there was a great and fearful sight in heaven that resembled to the sons of Issachar. Now, when I say the sons of Issachar, I want to say all those who had discernment of the times and seasons, the watchmen. Those who had understanding of the times and seasons, when they saw this and the fact that it was shaped in a sword over Jerusalem, they knew that it was a harbinger of judgment and destruction that was imminent. And did you know, according to Matthew 24:30, there appears that this is going to happen again in the future? Listen, let me read this scripture. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Notice, it says there's a sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then it says they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. So notice there's a sign or a harbinger. And what did I say? By definition, harbinger is a sign or a warning of something that is to come. So again, in Matthew 24:30, this is speaking of a future event where it is describing the return of the Son of Man. It says there will be a sign of the Son of Man in heaven, but then the people will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Wow. Then there was a second supernatural phenomenon that took place according to Josephus and many others. Let me read this to you, quote, so again, when before the revolt and the commotion that led to war, he's talking about the invasion of the temple and the Roman invasion here in Jerusalem. At the time when the people were assembling for the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 8th of the month of Nisan at the 9th hour of the night around 3 a.m., such a brilliant light shone around the holy altar and the sanctuary of the temple that it seemed to be broad daylight. And this continued for a half an hour by the inexperienced, this was regarded as a good omen. Listen to this. But by the sacred scribes, aka watchmen, the discerning, it was once interpreted, again, it was interpreted in accordance with events that would transpire later. In other words, judgment is what they said. This is not a good sign. This is a sign that judgment's coming, disaster's coming. So now, if you remember in 2011, there was a very controversial video. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a very controversial video where a group of individuals was recording outside at night in Jerusalem by the Temple Mount, and there was this glowing orb. Now, some say they've debunked this. Some say it was a hoax. But again, it's very controversial, and there's a lot of conspiracy around that because it's debatable. But you can see on this video, this orb is there, and it comes down over the Temple Mount, and it just hovers over the top of the Temple Mount, and then it just shoots up.
There's a new video this morning that some say may be proof we're not alone in the universe. A UFO in the form of a bright light is seen descending over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. The video is said to be taken over the weekend. Then suddenly the light shoots up into the sky. There you see it. Another video from a different angle appears to show the light doing the same thing. Those clips have gone viral now.
Now, I'm not here to say that it was authentic, and I'm not here to say that it was absolutely a hoax. All I'm saying is, don't be surprised, guys, if we see more and more supernatural events happening like this, that they can try to explain it away. They can say it's fake. They can say it's a hoax. They can say it's false information. They can say it's fake news. But I'm telling you, when you start studying history, you'll discover, and we're only on number two. I've got four more things to talk to you about that happened prior to the destruction of the temple. I'm here to tell you, I believe that if we are on the brink of the return of the Lord, the tribulation, more severe judgments that we as a generation have not seen in our lifetime, then I would venture to say, based on Solomon's writing of Ecclesiastes, the thing that which was is the thing that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. Listen to me. God is a God of cycles, seasons, and patterns. Let me say that again. God is a God of seasons, cycles, and patterns. To the learned, to the informed, and to the discerning, when God moves in the supernatural through signs, wonders, and miracles, and even signs in the heavens, and even things that are happening on the earth, those that are in tune with Him and the Word will understand the times and seasons in which we're in. But the unlearned, the uninformed, the ignorant, and the naive will be, they will not have knowledge of this. They will mock it, they will ridicule it, and they will just sweep it under the rug. And they will try to explain everything away. But I'm going to tell you, if I'm correct, and I'm not trying to be dogmatic here, I'm just saying we need to watch for this stuff. Let's just see how this is going to keep going down. See what other crazy things appear. And I'm going to talk more about that when I get to the end of this here in just a second. But it's going to increase more and more. And it's not going to be able to be explained away. Things are going to appear. Things are going to be shown. We're going to hear things, see things, experience things that we're going to have no point of reference to scientifically, historically, with technology that we have, everything. They will find no point of reference to it. Number three thing supernaturally that happened prior to the destruction of the temple was a cow gave birth to a lamb. This is, somebody say, not normal. At the same feast, just after the second sign, the great light over the altar, a cow that had been brought by someone for sacrifice gave birth just before it was to be killed to a lamb in the midst in the court of the temple. Now, guys, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Jewish Sanhedrin in Israel have been preparing for their quote unquote Messiah. And they have been looking for an authentic red heifer. They have been preparing the altar art, the artifacts for the altar. They've been preparing all the instruments for the sacrifice and for the rituals, for the laver and the menorah and all this stuff. They are literally trying to reenact what we read about in the book of Leviticus. Why? Again, in preparation for the Messiah. Number four, the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. By the way, this Eastern Gate is the same gate that the true Messiah, the Yeshua, the Son of God, the Son of David, when he comes, he will come through this Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. This Eastern Gate of the inner court, made of brass, massive, and closes towards evening and couldn't even be moved unless 20 men came together to move this door. It was fastened with iron-bound bars on each side. It had bolts which were sunk to a great depth into a threshold consisting of a solid block of stone. This gate was observed at the sixth hour of the night at midnight. Excuse me. It's interesting that it's at midnight that this happened. The gate appeared to have opened on its own accord. The watchman of the temple ran and reported the matter to the captain, and he came up and with difficulty succeeded in shutting it. And I'm going to read this. This is what Josephus put down. Quote, this again seemed to be of the best of omens, as they supposed that God had opened to them the gate of blessings. However, the learned understood that the security of the temple was dissolving of its own accord, and that the opening of the gate meant a present to the enemy, interpreting the portent sign in their own minds as indicative of a coming desolation. In other words, again, here's something else I want to point out to you guys. Let me get a drink of water real quick. I'm sorry, my throat's a little raspy, guys. It has been, again, weather's been up and down, up and down, up and down, 40 degrees, 70 degrees, 40 degrees, 70 degrees. So it's, my sinuses is taking a beating. So I apologize for all the coughs and the clearing of the throat and all that stuff. Anyway, let's get back to this. Here's another pattern you're going to notice. Historically, every time judgment was about to come, you had two groups of people and you had two groups of prophets. You had one group of people that when they saw these signs, these strange phenomena, unexplained mysteries, they saw it as a good omen, a sign of blessing, a sign of prosperity, a sign of peace. But then you had another group of people, I call them the Bereans, those who understood the times and seasons of which we're in, the sons of Issachar, if you would. They saw these signs as a sign of disaster and judgment. Now you say, well, how can you, what's the rule of thumb, Brother Ricky? How can you make that claim? How do you know it's not blessing? How do you know it's not prosperity and it's judgment? Guys, it's real easy. Ready? The key is, let's stick to context here. Speaking of Jerusalem, Israel, if you go back, when did the destruction of the temple take place? 70 AD. If you go back 40 years later, which is a generation to 30 AD, what was happening? Shedding of innocent blood, abominations. Sin was rampant. Wickedness was rampant in the nation. Why do you think Jesus over and over again, he said, "Woe unto you, Jerusalem, you who have shed the blood of the prophets." And again, remember, you had, prior to that, you had Moses. When Moses was raised up to lead the children out of captivity, out of Egypt, you had Pharaoh, who was slaughtering all the males, that's male children, firstborn, that's shedding of blood. Then you had Herod, and now this was under the time of Jesus. You had Herod that did the same thing, was shedding the innocent blood of the innocents, of children. And Jesus was saying, you cannot continue shedding innocent blood, defying God, committing abominations, turn to idolatry, continuing to do this in the face of Yahweh and not expect repercussions. And that's why he said, upon you and your children shall come the blood. And what happened? 40 years later, judgment came. So this, my friends, is why the prophets of the days of Josephus, who was an eyewitness to the destruction of the temple, and those remnant people that understood this, they understood God is not going to bless a nation or a people that it defies him, that continues to shed innocent blood. So this is what's going on. And here we are, fast forward, and we're in 2022. And now again, I can't speak for your nation. I can't speak for your country. I can only speak for America. And it is arrogant and naive and foolish to believe that we as a nation can continue to shed innocent blood, commit abominations, legalize abominations, condone abominations, turn from God, embrace idolatry, remove God from every arena of our lives and society, from schools, from family units, from the White House to your house, and not expect there to be some kind of repercussion. Now, let me get to number five. We got three more, guys. Five, six, and seven. We got five. Listen, according to Josephus, there was chariots seen in the air and armed battalions hurtling through the clouds and encompassing the cities. Whoa. Now, this is heavy right here, guys. Again, according, not just Josephus, he wasn't the only one that saw this. Again, other historians pointed this out too. And in their writings, they pointed out that there was seen in the heavens, in the skies, what appeared to be chariots with armed battalions moving about in the clouds. Now, interesting. Here we are. Now watch this. Now let's fast forward to 2022. Let's bring up what we talked about at the beginning of this, what we talked about over and over again. I know some of y'all get tired of me talking about UFOs, but I'm telling you, it all plays in. All this ties in to the discerning, they get it. To the sons of Issachar, they understand it. So here we are, and we're seeing these quote-unquote tic-tac shape, because we have no other description. We don't know how to understand this. We describe them as tic-tac shaped UFOs, cigar-shaped UFOs, triangular-shaped UFOs. We're seeing these strange unexplained, unidentified objects moving about the clouds that have no explanation, and they describe, and they're described as what they are seen as. How is this any different? So here you are prior to 70 AD, guys, and you had a group of people that were there present, and they said, we looked and we saw what looked like chariots moving about in the clouds with battalions. Wow. Again, while we sit around and debate, they're aliens, they're military, they're demons, it's baloney, I'm unfollowing you because you talk about UFOs, and we sit around and we argue and we strive and we debate about this stuff, are we overlooking harbingers that are happening in front of us and that are repeating in our generation and our time while we're sitting around arguing and debating stuff? Wow. According to Josephus and others, he wrote, quote, moreover, at the feast, which is called Pentecost, the priest, all 24 of them, on entering the inner city of the temple by night, as their custom was in the discharge of their ministrations, reported that they were conscious first of a commotion and a dim, great noise, and after that, a voice as of a host of an army were departing from here. In other words, again, they heard a multitude of voices speaking as an army inside the temple and departing from the temple. Again, 24 priests came in, but they all documented and recorded what they said. It sounded like a host of armies with strange voices speaking. And this again transpired on a feast day prior to the leading up to the destruction of the temple. And then the last thing, number seven, according to Josephus in the Antiquities of the Jews, he said, quote, but a further portent was even more alarming, was 4 years before the war took place in Tabernacle's time in 62 CE, when the city was enjoying profound peace and prosperity, there came to the feast at which it was the custom of all the Jews to erect tabernacles to God. There came one who they called Joshua or Yeshua. Now, this is not Yeshua, the Messiah, the Christ. This was a prophet in that day. Guys, Yeshua was a very common name in that time. I'm just saying it was. A lot of people, that just blew you away right there, because you thought that Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Christ is the anointed one. You thought that was the only Yeshua in that day. That's not true. There was other ones. But anyway, according to Josephus, this prophet, I call him a prophet. When we talk about this, you'll see that. He said that day and night he went about all the alleys of the city, and he would cry with his lips. And he said he would stand in the temple and begin to cry out, a voice from the east, a voice from the west, a voice from the four winds, a voice against Jerusalem and the sanctuary, quote, a voice against the bridegroom and the bride, a voice against all the people. Day and night he went about all the alleys with this cry on his lips, and some of the leading citizens insisted that he would be, they say he lost his mind, and they arrested him. But he, without a word on his own behalf or for the private ear of those who smote him, only continued his cries as before. So he would continue to cry out and warning Jerusalem to repent. He was repeating what Jesus, the Messiah, did in 30 AD. Eventually, he was arrested. And for 7 years and 5 months, listen to that, 7 years and 5 months, he continued his cry, his wail, and his warning, his voice never flagging, nor his strength exhausted until the siege occurred. Having seen his presage verified, he found his rest. For while going his round and shouting in piercing tones from the wall, quote, woe once more to the city and to the people and to the temple, as he added a last word, and woe to me also, a stone was reportedly hurled from the ballista, struck and killed him on the spot. So with those ominous words still on his lips, he was martyred and his blood was shed. What was his last words? Woe unto Jerusalem, your desolation is at hand. And again, isn't it amazing? All these signs happening, strange cosmic signs in the heavens was taking place. The temple doors that could not open and close by themselves. It's impossible. The wind is not going to blow these things open. They were opening and shutting themselves on their own accord. There was strange, mysterious voices heard. There was impossible situations such as a cow giving birth to a lamb taking place. There was a mysterious bright light that occurred. There was a cosmic sign in the heaven in the shape of a sword, consequently, that took place 4 years before the destruction of the temple that we know took place in 70 AD. And you say, well, that's all well and that's all good, Brother Ricky, but that's the past, that's history, that's water under the bridge. And what does that got to do with us? Well, let me tell you what that's got to do with us. I told you before, God is a God of seasons. He's a God of cycles. He's a God of patterns. That which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. He is the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. Come on, if you want to know how it ends, you got to go and research and study how it began. And I believe with all my heart that we are going to see these same things repeat themselves and happen again. But the question is, are you listening? Are you watching? Are you discerning? Is your head buried in the sand? Have you had someone behind a pulpit convince you that we, the watchmen, the sons of Issachar, are a bunch of sensationalists and we're a bunch of fearmongers and we're going around promoting hyperbole and that we're that we're just trying to scare people? So they've convinced you that these things don't mean anything. They're natural occurrences, nothing to see here, folks, and move along. So let's just talk about this. Let's end this on this note. So here we have unexplained objects happening. We have strange lights that are appearing. We have astronomers now that are reporting mysterious lights and things in the heavens that they can't explain, that there's strange sounds that's coming and emanating from a galaxy, from the galaxy, from the solar system. They can't figure out what this is. It's rhythms, it's patterns, it's coming in sequences. There's strange and fearful sights that are taking place. You've got the tetrads of the blood moons that have occurred, that people's wrote off those things. They've laughed at people, they've ridiculed people. The prophets, the watchmen, they've been laughed to scorn over it. We have historic solar eclipses that have taken place. By the way, we had one in 2017 that made a mark from one point to another across North America. It's going to happen again 7 years later, which is 2024, which is 2 years from now. And it's going to make an X over America. And it's in a very interesting place where it's going to make the X. If you want to know more about that, go listen to it. We did a whole podcast on that. We talked about that indefinitely and in detail. We're seeing comets that are setting records that's never been seen. We're seeing interstellar objects that are appearing in the heavens that has baffled astronomers and scientists and experts in their field. We're seeing historic weather events that are transcending all known records. Historic weather events transcending all known records. Watchmen have been warning for generation after generation of all, ever since, come on, the shedding of innocent blood was legalized in America. Abominations legalized in America, and so on and so forth. Watchmen have been warning of impending judgments for years and years, and for the most part, it has fallen on deaf ears. And I hate to say this, but even in the body of Christ, it has fallen on deaf ears. You don't hear this kind of preaching behind pulpits. You don't hear the warnings behind pulpits. You don't hear any teaching on eschatology, on end times, on Bible prophecy. And guys, this is the reason I have made my face like flint, and I am steadfast to continue to preach and teach what we have been called to do all in this ministry until the day the Lord returns, or the day I give up my breath and go back to my Creator, in which gave it to me. I will continue to do this, whether Facebook removes us, YouTube removes us, or whoever removes us. We're going to continue to keep going, and we're going to do what we've been called to do. What I need to know out there today is, where are you at? Have you let the scoffers convince you that this is all nonsense and that there's nothing to see and it doesn't mean anything and that everything's going to go as it always goes? And they were eating and they were drinking and they were giving in marriage and they were going about, they were sowing and reaping and planting. They were doing, they were living life as normal until the day. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus warned us, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. People will be going about as normal. They'll be so busy, so occupied, and so distracted that they will ignore the warnings. They will ignore the harbingers. They will ignore the message of the watchmen and the prophets, and we will continue to shed blood. We'll continue to shed innocent blood. We'll continue to commit abominations. We'll continue to defy God. We'll continue to spit in his face. We'll continue to do what we continue to do in defiance. And Jesus said, until the day. And then we're going to get up one morning, and it's going to be a day like every other day. You're going to go through your routine, whatever that routine looks like. You're going to get up. You're going to get your shower. You're going to get cleaned up. You're going to eat your breakfast. You're going to get your Starbucks coffee or your McDonald's coffee or Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Or maybe you don't drink coffee, and you're going to get in your car, and you're going to be on your way to punch the clock and do your duty and go about your routine daily lifestyle. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, bam, everything's going to change. So I do not want to be caught off guard and be found naked and ashamed at his coming. I want to be ready. I want to be watchful. And I want to be praying that I may be found worthy to escape all these things. Well, I can't believe you said that. Well, Jesus told me to pray that. In case you didn't know, that's in the Bible. So I don't know about you, but I want to be prayed up. I want to be watching, and I want to be ready. And I believe there's a remnant out there that's watching today and listening today, and you're in the same boat as me. And you, come on, you want to be ready, and you want to prepare your household, and you don't want to be alone. You want to get your friends. You want to get your family. You want to get your coworkers, and you want to get those that mean something to you and they're important to you. You want to get them ready for the days ahead. So why don't you, I'm going to take another drink of water so my throat will hold up. And then we're going to come into agreement, and we're going to pray for ourselves and pray for whoever that is, coworkers, family members, friends, those in your sphere of influence, in your circle of influence that you are praying for and you're believing for, that the eyes of their understanding would come open. And then I want you to stick around, because we've got some information we want to give you, an announcement. And we're going to close today. So let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every individual today under the sound of my voice. Lord, let us be prepared. Let it start with us. For me and my house, said Joshua, we shall serve the Lord. Lord, let it start with us today. You and me are the high priest of our home. Lord, we control the gates of our home. We control the gates, our eye gates, our ear gates. What comes in our mind? What comes in our heart? What comes in our home? What comes through the television? What comes through the internet? What comes in our families? Lord, we are our watch. We are the watchmen. We are the high priest of our homes, and we have to step it up and be watchful, be praying, and be ready. I pray that, Lord, we all be found worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass on the earth, that we may be found worthy and not naked and ashamed at your coming, God. Lord, we repent right now. Father, right now, I repent, and I just ask everyone to come in agreement with me today. And you pray your own prayer. You don't need to repeat after me. Pray from your own heart. Jeremiah said, these people draw near with me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. We don't want to give God lip service. We're praying from our heart today. Father, we repent, Lord, for our words. We repent for our actions. We repent for our deeds and our conduct or anything that has grieved, vexed, or quenched the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we ask that, Lord, you would wash us and that you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And may we be ready and be prepared, Lord, in the days ahead. God, I pray that, Father, that you would break off of us any strongholds, any weights and sins that so easily beset us and that are hindering us from running this race that's set before us. God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, Father, we pray right now. We shift gears and we pray for every member of our family. We pray for neighbors. We pray for coworkers. We pray for those that we love and hold dear to our heart. Lord, if there's anybody that's listening today and represented today, and you know who those people are that you're believing for, that you're praying for, right now, just begin to call them out by name. Call them into the kingdom. Call those things that be not as though they were. Lord, we just call them saved. We call them delivered. We call them set free in Jesus' name. Devil, we bind you. We bind your deception. We bind your falsehood. We bind your lies that has kept them in bondage, kept them in darkness, and kept them in deception. And we declare today by faith that it's those chains are being broken and they're coming out of darkness and to your marvelous light, oh God. And we thank you today. They shall be born again. They shall be saved in Jesus' name for the glory of God. Amen and amen. Come on, do you believe that today? Listen, I believe God will honor those prayers today. When you pray those and you mean those from your heart, listen, it is absolutely imperative more than ever. If you have not downloaded our free app, get it today. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Get it today. Get it on Apple. Get it on Android. Whatever your device is, get it. Download it. It's on Intime Headlines. Just type in Intime Headlines. Download that. Subscribe right there at intimeheadlines.org. When you go to our website, you're going to see a place where it says subscribe. Subscribe to our digest. Listen, the app is free. The digest is free. Why? What are you waiting for? Why are you not subscribing? Why are you not downloading the app? You got to get it. Listen, if you're watching this from Facebook Live, from YouTube, from Twitter, these are what we call the big tech giants. These platforms are censoring, shadow banning, and removing ministries, pages, and people all the time. This past weekend, one of our posts got flagged by Facebook. Absolutely ridiculous, calling it spam, and it wasn't. We're contesting it. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but this is why we've been warning people. You need go and listen, whatever alternative social media an outlet you want to follow us on, go there. We're on Telegram. We're on Gab. We're on MeWe. We're on Rumble. We're on Getter. We're on Parler. We're on all these guys. Every major one of these, we're on them. So go find us. There's like eight of them. We're on Instagram. We're all over the place. Go and find these places, because if there's a day, one day, we may not be on Facebook. And we will no longer be able to broadcast these segments live on Facebook. We'll have to go through another outlet. We'll probably be streaming it directly from our website. So we want to get you prepared now. We want to get you ready now. We want the life jackets on you now. We want the lifeboats out in the water now. We're not going to wait until the boat's sinking and you're drowning, and then you try to find a life jacket, and then you try to find a lifeboat. No, we're going to prepare now. This is where it's going. We know that. We understand that. And we've seen that. Also, if you've been blessed by this ministry, you support this ministry and what it does week by week by week, and you want to be a blessing back to us, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You just do what the Holy Spirit speaks to you and be obedient to that, and the Lord will bless you in return. You can do that two different ways, guys. You can give electronically through the app if you have it, or through the main website. It's simple. You click on there and it's going to take you and it's going to walk you through it. It's very simple to understand, and it's going to show you how to give electronically. You can give by check or money order. And this is what I call the old school method. You can do that. Nothing wrong with that. You could do that by making the check out to End Time Headlines right there on the screen, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, from the bottom of my heart, we appreciate your support, your partnership, your giving, your gifts, your blessings, your prayers, your conversations, everything, your friendship. We call you family for a reason, and we appreciate that. And I can never find and express the words of gratitude to show you guys what it means that you have helped us to remain strong and active year after year for 11 years now, since 2010. No, 12 years. Sorry, this year will be 12 years. We've been doing this, and we're going to continue to do this as long as the Lord permits. So, guys, we're going to sign off today. We will be back on Wednesday with another segment. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit the push notification. Don't hit that bell. Subscribe to us on Rumble, YouTube, whatever platform you are. Share the link, share the podcast, whatever the case may be, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.